Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is February 26th, 8:05 Central Time. That means it is time to study the daily New Testament reading. Our guest pastor joining us by phone this morning, the Reverend David Coomer from Concordia Lutheran Church in Wilmington, Delaware. Good morning, Pastor Coomer.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for being our guest this morning and helping us study the daily New Testament reading.
Right. Here in Concordia, we've been a congregation since 1938. In Wilmington, Delaware, and what's interesting about Concordia is that a lot of our people came here from the Midwest, the heart of Lutheranism, via DuPont Chemical Corporation. A lot of them earned their PhDs in chemical engineering, whatever sort of engineering, and came here via DuPont, which is headquartered here in Wilmington, Delaware, and really built this congregation.
Very good, and glad that you are there to deliver God's good gifts, to gather around God's Word, and to receive His good gifts. This morning, we are studying Mark chapter 4, verses 21 through 41. Anything you'd like for us to know about the text as we prepare to study this morning?
Well, it's Jesus talking about the kingdom of God, and He's talking to a group of disciples, which also includes the 12 apostles. And of course, that's key to recognize that difference as we read through the Gospels, is that there is a throng of people, the disciples, who are following Jesus. And that usually includes also the 12 apostles, those who are the 12 that are eventually sent out. So the 12 of the Lord's Supper painting, of course. And so He's speaking to all of them.
Well, very good. Let's dig into Mark chapter 4, verses 21 through 41 here in just a moment. I want to invite our listeners, too, if you have questions or comments, to give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us, kfuo@kfuo.org. Here we go. Let's take a look at Mark chapter 4, verses 21 through 41. And He said to them, "Is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." And He said to them, "Pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away." All right, let's take a look. And He said to them, "Is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand?"
Obviously a rhetorical question. The answer is no. Of course a lamp is meant to be shown and made useful. And what's interesting in this section that we're studying this morning is that all three of the segments that we're talking about, the lamp under a basket, the parable of the growing seed, and the parable of the mustard seed, all really refer to the kingdom of God. And they refer more specifically to Jesus himself, who embodies the kingdom of God. And so as in all the parables, Jesus is really talking about himself and trying to reveal that to them. And as he says later on, he's speaking in parables. And so those who are given faith understand what he's saying, and those who aren't given faith, they don't understand.
"For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear."
Right, which Jesus says throughout the Gospels, and of course he is simply, again, referring to himself, and he's going to reveal himself as this Gospel unfolds. And so nothing is hidden except to made manifest. Part of what he's doing in the Gospel is making himself manifest, not only to the people at the time, but to us as we read it.
"And he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away."
Somewhat of an aside comment almost as you read through this, because he's talking about himself and then shifts gears a little bit here, and he's talking about those within the kingdom and those without, who are outside of the kingdom. And so with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And so he's saying those in the kingdom It will be measured to you, and that would refer to Jesus himself and the free gift he gives us. And for the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Again, referring to being a part of the kingdom of God. And if you're in the kingdom of God, the blessings will abound. And if you're not, they will be taken away.
Looking at this first paragraph, about a lamp under a basket, anything else about this before we get into the parable of the seed?
No, not at this time. Obviously, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world," so we can bring in that passage as well from John. Again, Jesus revealing himself. One thing I do like to comment on is just how, when we understand things from a 21st perspective, we can maybe bring a little bit of that into what is being said here. And we know light is energy. We know it's on the electromagnetic spectrum, and that even when it's dark, the energy is still passing through. And so Jesus is that light, and we can try to put him under a basket, or some people may try to put him under a basket, but he's still going to shine no matter what.
All right, good. Let's take a look at verses 26 through 29. And he said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts it in the sickle, because the harvest has come." Here we have a really short parable. A parable of the seed growing. And he said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground."
What I like about this section is that the kingdom of God is really beyond our control. It's going to grow where God wants it to grow. And so even as we within the church, I as a professional within the church, one called to serve as pastor, we're doing our best to help that kingdom and grow, and at times it grows where God wants it to grow, and may grow where we never thought it would grow. And so it's really beyond us what God is doing, and my challenge as a pastor is to simply do the best I can with the gifts I've been given. But here it clearly is showing that with this parable, that we have no clue really how this is taking place.
Yeah, he sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. We are given to do what we are given to do, but God is the one who brings about the growth. We can't force growth.
Exactly. And so, the gospel, we are given the calling to spread that gospel in our words, in our deeds, through the means of grace, and we do that freely, and we spread that wherever God places us in our vocations, in our callings. So whether we're a pastor, in my context, lots of engineers in my congregation, and I encourage them every time that they are here that whether you are in a research lab at DuPont or whether you are traveling on an airplane, we also have lots of banking here in Wilmington. Most credit cards come to Wilmington at some point. We also have a lot of bankers. And so whether you're traveling, that's where God is taking you, to those places. And so you are scattering the seed wherever you go.
But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come.
And what's striking when you read through the Gospels is that Jesus continually reminds us of the inbreaking of the kingdom of God and the imminence of that we are now in the last days, or these days as often it's termed in the New Testament. And so since Christ ascended into heaven, we've been in the last days, and he reminds us now is the time. And even in 2015, a long time after Christ was here, we have to keep that perspective of keeping on edge, that we are in the last times. And when Jesus comes again, It's not so much for Christians, it's not so much to be ready, but to rejoice in that promise. But we also are called to go and make disciples of those who aren't part of the kingdom of God by scattering that seed and getting out there. And so this is a reminder of that pending coming of Jesus, the new creation that will soon dawn.
When we look at parables, any advice for us as we look at parables? We have another parable here to look at, to study in just a moment, but anything to look for in parables, any dangers to avoid when studying parables?
Well, I think the danger, especially in 21st century Christendom, is that we like to make the parables about us. We are very narcissistic in a lot of ways, and I remember studying there at the seminary on your campus that from Dr. Norman Nagel, that often and most often the parables are usually about Jesus himself. He's trying to reveal who he is to his people. And so, again, here the parables are all about Jesus, and the Gospels really can be read in that light. He's revealing himself to his creation, of which he embodies the new creation.
We're studying the daily New Testament reading today with Pastor David Coomer from Concordia Lutheran Church in Wilmington, Delaware. We're in Mark chapter 4 today, verses 21 through 41. If you have questions or comments, give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us, kfuo@kfuo.org. Pastor, any other comments about these first two paragraphs before we go on to the next section?
No, what I should say is that, again, we are in the last times. We are in these days, as it's called in the New Testament. And Jesus begins that in his incarnation and with his ascension. And so as the kingdom of God continues to inbreak into this old cursed creation, we look forward to that day when he will finally reveal fully the new creation that is coming.
Amen. We are studying the daily New Testament reading. We need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue studying in Mark chapter 4 today with Pastor David Coomer from Concordia Lutheran Church in Wilmington, Delaware. Stick around. We'll be back in just a minute.
Hey, Pastor Craig D'Onofrio here. I want to thank you, my Drive Time friends, for all of the wonderful things that you've been saying about Reformation Rush Hour. It's a pleasure to spend your evening commute with you. If you haven't been listening, you've been missing some fantastic topics, guests, and lighthearted fun. So please be one of my Drive Time friends. Monday through Friday, 5 to 6 p.m. Central on Worldwide KFUO, 850 a.m. in St. Louis, kfuo.org worldwide.
Hi, I'm Pastor Ted Lesh, pastor at Chapel of the Cross Lutheran Church in North St. Louis County, inviting you to listen to our KFUO radio worship broadcasts on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Active worship, preaching, music, and singing are part of every one of our services at Chapel. Join us Sunday nights at 6. It's one more broadcast worship opportunity for you from your friends at Chapel of the Cross and KFUO Radio.
Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. We are studying the daily New Testament reading today with Pastor David Coomer from Concordia Lutheran Church in Wilmington, Delaware. We're in Mark chapter 4, verses 21 through 41. If you have a question or comment about the text today, give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us, kfuo@kfuo.org. Pastor, are we ready to study the parable of the mustard seed?
Yep.
All right, let's take a look. Mark chapter 4, verse 30. And he said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when sown on the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on the earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants, and puts out large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. All right. And he said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable shall we use for it? That's what parables are, right? Comparing the kingdom of God?
Exactly. And again, he's talking here specifically about himself as he embodies that kingdom of God. He is the inbreaking of the kingdom of God in flesh. And so, again, he's comparing himself here to a grain of mustard seed. And it's indicated here from a first century perspective, obviously, smallest of the seeds on earth. We know it's not the smallest now, but nonetheless, very, very small. And as he tries to reveal himself to the people around him, none of them, as we know, recognize who he is at first. He appears very small, quote-unquote, and yet he continues to reveal himself as the gospel narratives progress.
And so here we begin the parable. It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on the earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. It's the smallest seed, but it also is the largest of all the garden plants.
Exactly. And this refers to the relentless direction to the new creation. So that's kind of looking out from our perspective to when Jesus will come again. The way I like to explain it to my parishioners is that the new creation is accelerating towards us. Each day it's getting closer and closer and closer. And so here again, Jesus is saying, you know, he has begun this new creation in his incarnation and reveals it and gives it fully to us on the cross, and then really reveals it to us in his resurrection. And that new creation is coming, and that's what the church pines for. That's what God's people, the kingdom of God, all of us being incorporated into Christ in our baptisms and being given his body and blood at the Lord's Supper. So we are members of this kingdom of God now. That's what we pine for, is to be in his perfect presence. I like to say that in today's world, in the cursed world that we live in, we have all sorts of interruptions in our perfect fellowship with God, and that's one way of understanding sin, is that we are completely disconnected from God in so many ways, and only through the means of grace is that connection reestablished.
Verse 33, with many such parables he spoke the word to them, as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. So he spoke many parables. He spoke the word to them in parables. He did not speak without a parable. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. Jesus likes to speak in parables.
Exactly. And this has been called sort of the messianic secret as we go through the Gospels. He's trying to make his way to the cross, which is that kairos moment. That kairos is the Greek word for time. I like to describe it as it's a God-shaped time. And so early on in the Gospels, we often have Jesus revealing himself slowly but surely, speaking in parables, because he is moving towards the cross. He doesn't want them to latch on to him quite yet. And so the parables are one way of teaching them who he is without fully revealing it to everyone quite yet. And yet as we get into the next verses, when he is on the storm, or calms the storm, when he's on the Sea of Galilee, it's obvious that he is God.
What else can we learn from this parable of the mustard seed today, Pastor?
Well, I think in lieu of what is called the theology of the cross, and that's a big term, mm-hmm. but basically it means that on the cross, God is there. Jesus, the Son of God, is there, and yet he's hidden. That's not how any of us would think that God would choose to save the world. We can read this parable similarly, in that the church, the kingdom of God, it looks like it's downtrodden. It looks like it's being beat up on, especially in Western culture now. And yet, it will go on. And we see that throughout the world, where Christianity seems to be growing by leaps and bounds in places like Africa and even in parts of Asia. And so I always, again, like to encourage my people, don't lose hope. We're not in charge of this kingdom. We are simply given the call to be faithful stewards of the means of grace and to live that out in our vocations, proclaiming the mercies of Jesus, proclaiming the love of God to the people in our lives. And so the kingdom of God will go on without us. And actually, I was pastor in Chicago before coming here, and we had to close the congregation. It was a congregation in the inner city, Bethel Lutheran Church, in the Humboldt Park neighborhood. And obviously, that was a very difficult time for the people that were still there. But I said, don't lose hope. We eventually gave the building to a non-denominational group of Christians, and we passed the baton. I like to think they were a faithful evangelical group. But the kingdom of God grows, whether we're in charge or not. And, of course, we're never really in charge. And so we have to remind ourselves of that. I think congregations can get really worked up about that when things are difficult, and we have to just remind ourselves of these parables when we're in those situations.
It goes back to the planting and growing, that God gives us to do what he gives us to do, but we don't cause the growth, he does. Yeah. Well, let's take a look at verse 35 and following. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." Let's take a quick break. It sounds like we've lost connection there. Let's take a quick break, and we'll come back from that break here in just a little bit, and we'll finish up our study here on Mark chapter 4 today. If you have questions or comments about the text, give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us, kfuo@kfuo.org. Stick around for more His Time right after this short break, right here on Worldwide KFUO.
God's Word is our great heritage and shall be ours forever. To spread its light from age to age shall be our chief endeavor. I'm William Whedon, LCMS Director of Worship, inviting you to be sure and join us as we romp through chapter after chapter of the Sacred Scriptures, rejoicing in the salvation that's ours in Jesus Christ. Join us.
Thy Strong Word, weekday mornings at 11 on Worldwide KFUO. Underwritten by Lutheran Heritage Foundation, lhfmissions.org.
Let Worldwide KFUO help you get the word out about your next church, school, or organization event. By including your event in the KFUO datebook, it will be announced on the air throughout the day. Send your event information via email to jennyw@kfuo.org. That's jennyw@kfuo.org. Or call 314-996-1515. Be sure to include date, time, location, and contact information. The KFUO datebook is a public service of listener-supported Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. We are studying the daily New Testament reading today with Pastor David Coomer from Concordia Lutheran Church in Wilmington, Delaware. We're in Mark chapter 4 today, verses 21 through 41. We're picking up at verse 35. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them. In the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him, and a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" All right, so on that day when evening had come, he said to them, let us go across to the other side. And so leaving the crowd, they took him with them in a boat, just as he was. And there were other boats with him, but a great storm arose.
Right, so we're on the Sea of Galilee. He's going from the western side to the eastern side here. We can think of that in terms of being sort of the Jewish side to the Gentile side. And so they're heading out after he has done this teaching. And tying all three of these parables together, it's really an opportunity for Jesus to drive home the fact that he is indeed the kingdom of God. And that's what he's going to do here in these next verses.
And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling, but he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion.
Right, yeah. So Jesus, he has no fear here. He is the Lord of creation, and he's about ready to prove that in the words that he says in the next verses.
He's asleep. Quite different than how the rest of the people on the boat approached the situation. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" They think that he doesn't care that they're perishing, that they're going to die.
Right, and this really hits home to all of us here on this side of heaven, as I like to say, because we often think the same. And as a pastor, I get this question a lot in terms of why does God let this happen to me? And of course he cares, and he proves it in the next few verses. And so this is always good to remember that Jesus always cares for us, and it might be that his caring for us might be giving us a cross to bear at a certain time, and other times he might do what we want him to do. But of course he does care, and that's what he's going to show here in the next couple of verses.
A teacher, do not care that we are perishing? And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm.
Right, and of course this is so astounding, because any of us who have been in a windstorm know how humanly impossible this is to say these words, and yet it harkens back to Genesis 1 when God creates everything by his word. And so here Jesus, by his word, is kind of doing the reverse. He is stopping this wind by his very word. So even the creation obeys him, again, going to the point that he's revealing himself to be God. He is the kingdom of God incarnate, and he can even control the wind, which to this day in the 21st century, we're still trying to figure out how to harness the energy of wind, and Jesus can make it stop.
And he did. The wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Let's go back to Genesis. God speaks, and what happens?
And it is. So he speaks the creation into existence by his word, and it is. And here he says peace, and there is peace. And what's interesting is that when we think of these words, peace, be still, our minds might immediately jump to Jesus' resurrection account when he appears to the apostles, and he says, "Peace be with you." And so Jesus is all about bringing the shalom, that Hebrew word for peace, not just sort of a inner sentimentality peace, but peace in a holistic way, body, soul, and mind to all of us. And we often forget that in our Christian teaching, that in his resurrection, he's going to raise us in bodily form. That's part of the peace that he will give us in the new creation, is that we will be given new, perfect, glorified bodies, as the Apostle Paul talks about it. And that's part of the shalom. That's part of the peace.
And so here he speaks, the creation obeys, is obedient to him. He says, "Peace be still." The wind ceased. There's a great calm. And he said to them, he said to those in the boat, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?"
Exactly, and that all of us can relate to, because that is the essence for a child of God. That is the essence of our fear. It's really when when our faith, when we're struggling to really believe those promises that are given us in baptism, and so we become afraid. We forget that we are in the hands of our Creator, our loving Creator, our loving Savior. And so it's just, again, an encouragement here from John Mark, who writes this gospel, that, of course, Jesus cares. Look, he calmed this storm on the Sea of Galilee and rescued the apostles, and he will be with each one of us as well.
Have you still no faith? And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? They were filled with great fear. What kind of fear are we talking about here in verse 41?
This is reverent fear. Mm-hmm. This is a better word, or a word that could be used, may not be a better word, but awe, and great awe. I mean, it's like, holy cow, we can't believe what just happened. He is who he says he is. I mean, they're beginning to realize what he has just said in these first three parables, that he is the kingdom of God. And now he proves it by calming the sea and the wind. He's demonstrating that he indeed is the kingdom of God. And that's really how we can understand all the miracles, that he is indeed God incarnate. He is indeed bringing the new creation to bear, even in the healing of people, as we see him do throughout the Gospels, when he heals the blind, raises the dead, and grants the ability to move to the paralyzed. Those are great accounts of Jesus in breaking the new creation into this cursed creation, and showing people this is ultimately going to come to all of God's people when he comes again on that last day. And so it's really about Jesus incarnating the new creation and demonstrating that through these miracles throughout his gospel. And here we have one that relates to nature, as we call it, or the physical creation outside of our bodies.
Looking over this last section, anything else about this text as Jesus calms the storm? Anything else you'd like for us to know about this section before we look at the whole text today?
I would just encourage our listeners that to remember that Jesus indeed is the kingdom of God incarnate. And mm-hmm. here we have three parables that demonstrate that, and he drives it home he drives home that point by calming the sea and calming the wind, which in our rationalistic minds today seems unfathomable, and yet that's really the point, because he is God. And of course, we would, any concept of God, we would want it to be outside of our reason, I would hope, because otherwise it's not God, and it's just something that we create for ourselves. And so Jesus is doing the unfathomable. He's playing outside of the boundaries, as it were, of this cursed creation, and demonstrating that he embodies the new creation.
We've been studying the Daily New Testament reading today with Pastor David Coomer from Concordia Lutheran Church in Wilmington, Delaware, from Mark chapter 4 today. Thanks so much, Pastor Coomer, for being our guest pastor, helping us study these parables, this text here in Mark chapter 4, our Daily New Testament reading.
It's been a blessing, and I hope you invite me back again.
Well, thank you so much, Pastor. God bless you and all the saints there at Concordia Lutheran Church in Wilmington, Delaware. Next time we send in a credit card bill, we'll say hi to you on it. Thanks so much for being our guest. Coming up in just a little bit, we've got some sacred music to help continue your morning here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.